Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group's third quarter and nine-month 2018 trading update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Gressler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Trocchia, you may now begin.
Thanks very much, and good evening, and thanks for all of you attending today's call on Safilo Trading Update on key performance indicator of our first 9 months and third quarter of the year. As we discussed during the presentation of the H1 results, an update of the 2020 plan, this second half of the year is for us an important period to work and accelerate on the fundamentals on which we plan to build our new business plan. We are progressing against our objectives to improve and step up core capabilities in the area of customer care and service level, in line with our plan to reconquer the business in Europe and North America, where we are seeing an improvement in the business trend since beginning of September. The work is ongoing also in Asia and Latin America, where in each of the regions we recently appointed new seasoned leaders with industry experience who will help us to develop a more effective operating model in important markets like Brazil, China, and Japan. This, I think, it is a necessary introduction because third quarter results were more or less in line with our expectations, slightly behind on the top line and ahead on the bottom line. Sales performance in the quarter was negative by 8.4% at constant exchange rate, and this reflected the underlying performance in North America and Europe, quite similar to the trends we reported in H1, while Asia and rest of the world turned negative after a strong first half and a comparison base equally strong. We are thus expecting a certain degree of deceleration of Asia and rest of the world in the second part of the year. That said, the performance on the business in the rest of the world declined somewhat beyond our expectation, as we will discuss more in depth commenting our regional sales performance. The most positive note of the period, consistent also with the performance of the first 9 months of the year, were in terms of brands, Polaroid, Tommy Figure, Kate Spade, Max Mara, with Smith turning positive in the quarter, while as regards our channels, we continue to progress in the travel retail business and in the development of the e-commerce. And here I'm referring in particular to our business store internet pool player. At the gross and adjusted EBITDA margin, the quarter was satisfactory. We progressed both at the COGS level and in the area of our overhead expenses, actually overachieving the savings plan for the year and related to the activities initiated in the last 18-24 months. This allowed us to hold up well both at gross margin level, which ended up higher than last year, and also in the adjusted EBITDA, reporting a 5.4% despite the weak top line and a negative Forex impact. Net debt stood at 144.2 million, including, as outlined, the cash in of the last compensation payment from Kering. I hand over to Gerd for a more detailed analysis.
Thank you, Angelo, and good evening. Moving on to our sales performance, the total revenues in the third quarter equaled 221.5 million euros, recording a decline of 8.4% at constant exchange rates or 7.7% just the wholesale business. I also highlight that in terms of sales, the period had a higher contribution of the Gucci production agreement business, and for that reason, these volumes are this year more heavily phased towards the second half of the year. So the business performance, excluding Gucci, was negative by 11% at constant currencies. To give you a clearer picture of the underlying performance of the period, I would also like to add that this quarter, compared to the others of the year, we had a heavier negative impact net of the contribution of new licenses from the exit of Celine, whose phase-out business was higher in the second half of 2017, as typically happens in the last year of a license. So let me say that net of Gucci SPPA and Celine in the base, the performance of the quarter was substantially in line with the all-in performance at minus 7.7%. Now, by geographical area, North America was down at constant exchange rates by 7.8%, with the wholesale revenues decreasing by 5.6% and reporting some improvement compared to the performance recorded in half year one, which was negative 6.9%. In North America, we are progressing on the commercial reorganization started with the appointment of Steve Wright, our business leader there, and we're now working to strengthen our business relationships with the three O's, the independent opticians, but also to play more multi-channel and increase our grip in the department stores. The quarter showed some first steps forward, in particular driven by our business with internet pure players, where we are off to a promising start with Amazon, and also our sales and department stores showed some improvement. As regards our retail business Solstice, it dropped 19.4% at constant exchange rates behind the closure of 22 stores in the last 12 months and a negative volume mix effect. Comp sales were down 8.3% in the quarter, driven by a double-digit decline in store traffic, while conversion and dollar per transaction contributed positively. And the 81 stores left at the end of September were still loss-making. Let me anticipate that we are on this topic now finalizing our considerations for the network to decide how to move forward. Moving to Europe, sales were down 5.9%, more or less double this decline, excluding this increase of Gucci. However, again, the underlying performance, excluding the new and the expired licenses, was in line with the minus 6% all-in. In Europe, where we are also intervening, as highlighted by Angelo, to improve service levels, strengthen customer-facing roles and overall capabilities, improve the availability of spare parts, work on fewer SKUs, so on and so forth, the improvements were still uneven. We had some positive hints in France and also in Italy, maybe in the independence channels, while the business lagged in some of the key accounts in the regions which are temporarily focused on their inventory levels. As already said, the third quarter was particularly weak in the rest of the world, where sales dropped 21.5% at constant currencies, while performance in Asia Pacific was negative by 8.3%. As said, these two regions rested a bit after a pretty strong half year one. We had a 22% growth in Asia, a 16.7% in the rest of the world, and we have an underlying strong comp base last year. So I would say a certain degree of deceleration was on the cards and was in the plan. In Asia Pacific, in the third quarter, this turned out substantially in line with expectations, reflecting not only the base comps and phasing, but also some underlying weakness in Japan, which is a challenging market we are trying to better tackle with the implementation of a more effective and efficient operating model. On the other hand, as said by Angelo, the drop in the rest of the world exceeded our expectations somewhat. Elaborating a bit more on this, within the rest of the world, we comprise the business in Latin America and in IMEA, so India, Middle East, and Africa. On the one side, in Latin America, which apart from external factors, like has been the case of Brazil, where the business environment is again not the easiest, the performance was here more explained by a tough base of comparison, as the recovery of last year's Padua DC deliveries had a long tail in Latin America, also in the third quarter. In IMEA, comprising India, Middle East, and Africa, as I said, which is the other important region in our rest of the world. On one side, we did have some phasing effect in the performance, particularly in the India business, which decelerated temporarily after a pretty high first half year, and we expect the growth trajectory to actually continue in the future. On the other side, we saw a quite evident deceleration in the business managed by regional distributors, which we don't expect to change much in the fourth quarter. With these accounts, the business was very strong in the second half of last year. Possibly the speed of exit was overestimated, and so the distributors that we work through have a bit higher stock levels than average, so we're carefully managing this topic. We're focusing particularly on accelerating sellout and also, though, favoring a bit more homogeneous trading activities in the medium term, because we continue to be confident on the growth potential of our brands in these regions, and clearly this is what we're looking for going forward. So given our third quarter sales performance, the first 9 months sales were 713.7 million, 5.6% lower at constant exchange rates, 5% just the wholesale business, and 6% excluding the Gucci business. So on this chart, I just read out the performance by geography. North America, minus 7.7%. Within this, minus 6.5% wholesale, minus 14.3% retail, and within retail, comp sales negative 6.1%. Europe declined 6.8%, while year-to-date September, Asia-Pacific and rest of the world are positive, respectively by 10.8% and 0.9%. Moving on to the economic performance of the period, and starting as usual with our industrial performance, gross profit in the quarter equaled 112.4 million, down 6.6% compared to the same period of last year. The gross margin improved in Q3 to 50.7% of net sales, 120 basis points higher than last year. This improvement is explained by the additional COGS efficiencies achieved in the period, which allowed us to bank an additional 3 to 4 million of savings in this area, taking us to a total of 9 million savings in the 9 months. These higher efficiencies at the plant level helped us to counterbalance a somewhat negative volume and mix effect, but also an unfavorable impact from foreign exchange, net of which the gross margin this year would actually have been 180 basis points higher than last year. As we have highlighted in previous quarters, while we are quite efficiently hedged or naturally hedged on the dollar, having a great deal of revenues but also costs of goods sold in dollars, we don't have a significant cost base, in particular in emerging market currencies like the Brazilian real, the Russian ruble, or the Turkish lira, all of which strongly depreciated in the quarter against the euro, and we don't hedge against these currencies. So let me then add that in terms of sales mix, we had a greater portion of sales from Gucci SPPA, which, of course, by a business mix view, would have had a greater dilution effect on the overall gross margin. However, this has been offset by a higher than average marginality within the production agreement itself, as we were able to execute it more efficiently than last year. So this was not an additional driver in the period. So for in the first 9 months, gross profit reached 366.5 million euros, which is a decline of 10.1%, while gross margin was 51.3%, 30 basis points lower than last year, but at constant exchange rates, it was up 20 basis points. Moving on to the operating level in the third quarter, our adjusted EBITDA remained more or less in line with the other quarters of the year at 12 million euros, reporting a decline of 3.4 million compared to the same quarter of last year. The adjusted margin equaled 5.4% of net sales, down 90 basis points at current currencies, but it would have been flat at constant currencies. So also at this level, we continued and we actually exceeded the total expected cost savings planned for the year, delivering 17.5 million euros of overhead savings in the 9 months, which helped us to keep a decent level of profitability, notwithstanding the negative operating leverage deriving from the top line and the negative foreign exchange impact. In the first 9 months, the adjusted EBITDA reached 37.2 million, recording a decline of 13.9% compared to the same period of last year. Like the gross margin, also the adjusted EBITDA margin, standing at 5.2% of net sales, was 30 basis points below last year at current exchange rates, but up 20 basis points at constant exchange rates. Finally, to conclude with the net debt, this stood at 144.2 million at the end of September 2018. After we cashed in the last 30 million euro compensation payment from Kering at the end of the quarter. Other than that, we did not have any specific cash flow dynamic, I would say. In any case, a somewhat lower absorption of free cash compared to the first half of the year, which, excluding the Kering payment, was only slightly negative. Before I give the word or back to Angelo for his final remarks, I conclude by reminding that we confirmed the execution of a new financing agreement of 150 million euro, increasable up to a maximum of 200 million euros, and this facility of 150 includes a term loan of 75 million and a revolving credit facility of equal amount, which both are maturing on the 30th of June 2023. This financing obviously will be the main source of financing for the group once we have repaid the equity link bonds in May of next year. Last but not least, within this new financing, we also agreed with the banks the extension of the current revolving credit facility maturity date from November 2018 to the 31st of January 2019, so that we can execute in the meantime the capital increase, and in parallel we also received a waiver on the covenant tests of the 30th of June 2018 and for the 31st of December 2018 as well. Angelo, back to you.
A few additional comments from my side. First, on our current trading conditions. October ends today. It is a better month in the right direction to allow us to deliver a positive sales performance. Will this be sufficient to counterbalance the performance of the third quarter and to achieve our target to see business trend in H2 improving compared to the first half of the year? This is a question. This is still our aim, we think, within reach. On the other hand, as we highlighted, the cost saving expected for this year of 50 million euro in overhead were already overachieved at the end of September. And the same holds for industrial efficiency. While in the last quarter of the year, we are activating a number of projects which are expected to bring along 2019 and 2020 cost saving, in these last months of the year, just a residual tail of the 2018 savings will materialize in Q4. For this reason, and a more sizable contribution of the Gucci SBPA, the last quarter profitability is most likely below what achieved up to September. This was clearly already envisaged in our full year guidance of 4 to 5% adjusted EBITDA margin, and of course, we are working very hard to finish at the upper end of our guidance. Considering some lower than expected absorption of cash in Q3, driven by more contained capex and better DSO, we could have some opportunity at the net debt level at the end of the year to remain more in line with H1 position. To conclude, just a quick note on the approval by the extraordinary shareholder meeting held on Monday of the share capital increase, with the resolution approved with a very high quorum. Next step now is to convene the board of directors to resolve on the detail of the right issue, and it is our intention, as expressed already by Gerd, to move forward as soon as possible. This concludes our presentation, and we can now be open for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And if you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. No questions in the phone queue at this time. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I have a few questions. Let's start with the capital increase. What is the most likely timing? Are you trying to complete by your end? And the second question is still related to the new financing. Could you give us some indication on the cost of financing? Back to the operating trend. Well, I'm trying to understand. Well, first of all, some clarification on the comments on the October trading conditions. When you're saying positive top line, should we assume that you are including the Gucci contribution? So what is the actual, the underlying trend excluding Gucci? And what do you see different compared to the very negative performance of the third quarter in the October trends? And if you can, last question, if you can elaborate a little bit more on what's going on the market. So do you see, how do you see Safilo compared to the market trends in, say, in the first 9 months on the third quarter? Do you see any specific weakness in the market as a whole, apart from your company-specific issues?
Okay, let me start, Domenico. So first question on the capital increase. Our intention, if everything goes up to plan, is to conclude the capital increase within December of this year, so that we have the money in the bank within December of the year. Of course, it is always a process that requires numerous regulatory steps, which so far we are on track with, and as long as that remains the case, we want to complete within this year. On the second question, on the new financing agreement, let me say that broadly speaking, the terms and conditions are quite equivalent to the previous RCF that we had. In terms of actual cost of the facilities, I would say that they are slightly higher, but not materially. We're speaking, you know, about a relatively moderately higher amount of basis points. In the end, what we will pay will depend on what sort of leverage ratio we will have as a company over time, because there is a margin ratchet built into the facility. The better the leverage ratio, the better also the cost of the facilities for us. On the operations of the third quarter in October, I think what we're seeing since the beginning of September is that the European business is starting to turn, is starting to look better. Of course, you may remember that the fourth quarter of last year was particularly challenging in Europe, and so this quarter actually I think we're getting out of the gates better than last quarter, also excluding the impact of the SPPA, and it is quite broad based so far across the markets. But of course, Q4 is a big quarter in terms of sales. So even if September and October started well, we will really know the full organic performance of the quarter when we have November and December. But that's the start of it. I think on the last question.
No, may I ask you if sorry to interrupt you. If you think that there is, if weather conditions have been a tangible contributor to this performance that were quite supportive, or if you think that is a more general, a more structural trend?
No, I think that, you know, the weather condition, they came too late somehow this year, because the weather has been good, but I think it was too late for a real effect on the sun. So I don't think that there's been a weather effect there. Answering to your last question, which is Safilo versus the market, I think let's start by saying that the market, I think in these days, at least from how we see that, has quite different dynamic, in the sense that we see some channels which are performing very well. I'm referring to the GTR, in which the channel, the travel retail, global travel, the travel retail, where we see that the channel is really performing well, and we are performing well in the channel. But if we just stick on the market, is the channel is going well, as some of the big key accounts globally, they are going well. Contrary on that, I think that in general the traditional 3Os are suffering a little bit more. So we have really different performance between key account global and the 3Os, the small independent. And then in terms of geography, clearly Europe, especially Southern Europe, has really suffer a lot from the late season and the fact that the weather has been late was anyhow too late. So still, from the data that we have, you know, South Mid Europe has been suffering and is not really recovering. Different discussion is in North America, where again also there department store and 3Os are a little bit in not getting the better performance. In terms of Safilo, I think what we are doing, we are trying to be very clear on our priority. Our priority is to dramatically increase our customer service, our customer care. I prefer to talk about customer care. We are really pushing to recover the level of service that I think we should give to our customers. So that is really our priority, as our priority is really to build our core capabilities in the region, North America, South America, and now Asia, also really reshaping ourselves to catch the opportunities that I think next year they will come after this year. So I think that obviously in some area we've been suffering, but we are really now very, very focused. I think we believe that we have strong collection for next year, but first we need really to put capability in place and raise by far in a tough way our level of service and our really close care about our customer base.
Can I ask you also some color on the performance of your high-end luxury brands? And if you see in general, so the consumer trending down, how is the consumer performing in terms of the price positioning and luxury versus more cool mass market?
I think that in general it's true for all the industry, and it's also true for our industry, that the consumer, also if we are more close to the fashion, are somehow more becoming more sensitive to price or more price sensitive. So we see that in an upper part of the fashion, we see some slowdown there, but clearly it depends. It really depends about the brand. Where we see a growth in what we call a sort of premium contemporary, so which is really not really on the luxury, but is on the upper part of the contemporary. That is where we see the performance of some of our brand, but in general, that is where we see the market performing well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it's star one if you wish to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Marco Baccaglio from Kepler. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I have a question on the contract of Gucci. So it is, was contributed quite strongly. So if you remind us, what are the commitments that the brand has to give you business over next year, and if you also already have visibility about what would be the workload for 2019 compared to 2018. Thank you.
So on the Gucci contract, we are now in the second year of the 4 years of the contract. In principle, the total level of volumes that we have in 2018 is quite consistent with 2017, and in terms of pieces, in terms of volume, is quite consistent with what we had as a license. What we're seeing this year is quite a different phasing. We had stronger order taking in the first half of the year of 2017. We have stronger order taking in the second half of 2018. That's why we have a bit of a different profile, but on a full yearly basis, it is approximately equivalent. Next year, 2019, the contract minima will step down by approximately 40 to 50% more or less. So the volume will be lower. This is what we are planning with, and then, I mean, any additional business is not foreseen in the contract itself, but is always open to the two parties to see whether we can find additional business opportunities. But at this point, we are planning with the contract itself.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time. I would like to hand the call back over to you, Mr. Trocchia, for any additional or closing remarks.
I mean, nothing special. Thanks very much for being here, and thanks very much for the question. Let's talk next time. Thanks very much.